What a wonderful song this morning, and Miss Cindy, thank you for that. The wonderful congregation singing. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 48. I think we will take just a minute before we leave, and I'll try to get through quickly as I can, to recognize our birthdays, because I know we've had some. I was looking around at some of them that I've seen on the internet. One thing about my little expedition into the internet world and trying to do a Facebook every day post, and as I do get to see a lot of people, things happen in their lives, and it's always special. And so I'm very thankful for all the posts. Been trying to keep up with everybody, the graduates and all their activities and families and all that they've been going through, and birthdays and first thing and another. I appreciate that medium. But we're going to recognize some birthdays and anniversaries here before we leave real quick in just a few minutes. You have Psalms 48. By the way, high schoolers, I'm sorry, Ms. Trudy got all this together for us. And as you came in this morning, you maybe could, maybe you didn't, but your picture's out there for all the high schoolers on one of those placards out front. And the church has made those, Ms. Trudy got them made. The church is presenting those to you today. So high schoolers, before you leave, you go by, and mom, dad, whoever, and get yours. If you had a graduate and they're not able to be here today and you're here to represent them, you're welcome to take their gift to them for us. And we'd appreciate you doing that. Amen. And you're glad you're here? Say amen. I was glad when they said to me, let's go in the house of the Lord. It's a good thing to be saved, good thing to be in the house of the Lord. And I want you to look at Psalms number 48. This is a wonderful song. I would love to read the whole thing, but let me just read verse number 1 just because I want to, and I love it. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. And referring, of course, to Zion or to Jerusalem. And great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. We have a great God. We want to give Him great praise. Say amen. 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 Now, I'm going to skip all the way to the very end. This month, we are emphasizing family. Family. And I want you to get your family together and do some specials. Sing some wonderful songs for us. And you get with Brad, and he may get with you. And we want to recognize families and honor families. You remember one time before, that we recognize family. We just took our church roll and we cut it up into a little piece of paper, and each Sunday we would draw a name or a couple of names, three names, and present to those families if they were here. Now, this is a unique situation. I understand that. So what we'll probably do this time is I'd like to recognize families each Sunday, and if you're here, recognize your family. If I draw your name, don't embarrass you in any kind of way, just recognize you, and we have a little gift for those families. But if for some reason you're not able to be here, we'll understand, because we've got a lot of wonderful, faithful people who yet are not getting out in the public, and because of the coronavirus, and we understand that. So, but we want to do that. But you understand this is going to be family month. Now, this morning, I really want to put emphasis on all these graduates and thank the Lord for them. And this is kind of a family type thought, but it's maybe addressed to all of us as well as the graduates this morning. And so you remember to pray for all of them and for what God's going to be doing in their life from this point on, and ask God's blessing. I'm mentioning the wonderful singing already this morning. Let me invite you to join us tonight at 6:30 for a broadcast that's brand new. This is a recorded live singing from Benson Grove Baptist Church. Brad and some folks got it together this week. You've never seen it. It's going to be great, and it's at 6:30. So you tune to Benson Grove Baptist Church, and you go in to listen live. Now, would it be listen live, Brad, or how do they get that at our website now? Okay, at 6:30, it's just going to be live, so you just go find it at 6:30 tonight on our website and for all our friends in other places as well. I know many of you join us in distant cities up in Virginia and out in Colorado and everywhere else. And so at 6:30 tonight, it'll be a new singing program that they put together during the week and pre-recorded it for you, but it's all recorded live. And so you're going to be blessed tonight. Just a good time to fellowship with your family tonight. And so you have your Bibles open to Psalms number 48 and look at verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I'm so thankful that God, You have blessed all of our graduates, from the kindergarten graduates, the high school graduates, those who graduated from college, those from the Bible Institute. We thank you for them. Lord, we're just blessed that they are here today. Thank you for blessing them and all the hard work they put in, for their families who've loved them and prayed for them and helped them through all their education and continuing education now. We pray, God, your blessing on them. But our Father, we desperately need you in our nation today and in our families today. And our Father, I pray, God, that you would just help us to know that there is somebody that we can depend on in 2020, in good times and bad, through difficult circumstances, through happy moments, through sadness, through sickness, through death. There's somebody who will guide us and never, ever leave us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Bless now our Father, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This thought came to me as I was thinking and praying about this service today. This verse has always been a kind of wonderful, a special blessing to me. You know, you get all kind of things from people, you know, a guide to survival and a guide to this weight program and a guide to this, a guide to that. You go somewhere and you may be going to go on a tour and you have a tour guide. We were in Israel. We had a very knowledgeable guide on our bus in Israel. And he was a blessing. And we put little earplugs in, and I think they called them whispers or whatever, and he could talk. We could walk through a great huge crowd in where we were, and yet he could be, you know, several feet ahead of us, and he'd be talking. We could hear every word. And so we were trying to follow him, but we were listening to him the whole time. And so with all of that commotion going on around us, we were tuned in to our guide. And he was taking us through all the maze of people, right to some site that we need to see. And while he gave us great instruction about the historical and spiritual significance of it, all those things. You've been other places where you had guides. I thought one time I'd like to do one of those, you know, big fishing trips, go out west somewhere and do that, or go on one of those hunting things, and they're not all that way, but I was in a medical office one time, and I picked up a Sports Illustrated, or maybe it was a Field and Stream, I think is what it was, and thumbing through there, I saw there's a list of these guided tours, people that, you know, they live there, and they know where you're going to kill the elk at, they know where you're going to catch the cutthroat trout at, and they'll take you, and so then I got looking at it, and then I got looking at the prices, and I said, I think I'll buy me a bucket of crickets and go to a local pond at home and enjoy it. I mean, it's very expensive to have a guide who knows the answers, to knows where you need to go and what you need to be effective if you're in this world. But I want to tell you today, there's a guide, and his leadership is absolutely free. He's very knowledgeable. He knows everything. I mean, that's just sum it all up. If you're going to go into the medical profession, he knows everything there is to know about medicine. If you're going to be a carpenter, he's a great skilled carpenter, and he knows all there is about carpentry. If you're going to be a housewife, the Bible tells us, and our Lord knows exactly what would make you a successful housewife. If you're going to be in any endeavor, wouldn't it be an asset to have somebody who knew everything about everything and could help you? And he was willing to do that at no charge. And he said, this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. I'm glad we can have him. First of all, I want you to notice in this passage of scripture just a few things. First of all, the person who is our guide. He said, God, the Lord, God is our guide forever and ever, even unto death. God's our guide. Man, can you imagine what that's like? Now, I enjoyed, Brother Savik was our guide. He was raised in and around Jerusalem. He played on all those historical sites as a little boy, ran up and down and climbed those hills and up down the streets of Jerusalem and occasionally in Bethlehem and other places. Can you imagine growing up in the Holy Land? And then he studied in the Jewish public school the Bible through all of his high school years. Every year, they studied the Bible all the way through. And then, as God saved him personally, and he began to study, began to learn, and man, he was a wealth of knowledge. And I enjoyed him. If I ever went back again, I'd sure look. Regina, I've talked about it. If we could just get a small group together and just go and hire him or get him to just guide us and take our time, do what we want to, go where we want to go, listen to him. But just think about this. As much as he knows, it's a fraction, minute, to what your Lord knows. And he'll be your guide even unto death. The Lord God who knows everything, he is our God. I'm talking about the God of creation. He made everything. He fashioned everything. Before this world was ever fashioned, he created it, fashioned it, spoke the stars into existence, coursed his finger and created great rivers and just raked his hands and made great mountain ranges. He created. That God can be your personal guide through all the rest of your life. That God who is not only God of creation, but he is a compassionate guide. He loved you so much he gave his only begotten son. I did a little post this morning about that. And sometimes we get the feeling like we need to do certain things for God to love us or God to like us more. But the truth of the matter is he just chose to set his love on us, and he loves us with an everlasting love, never changes. And that same God will be your guide, a loving guide, a caring guide. He wants to lead you to the right place at the right time, and knowing that along the way you'll have to have certain provisions, you'll have to have certain needs. And the Bible says of the good shepherd that he puts forth his sheep and then he goes before them. And so this guide, everything you come to, he's already there. He already knows what you need. Through every sorrow, he gets there before you do. Through every sickness, he gets there before you do. Through every success, he gets there before you do. Through every perplexity and question and problem that arises in your life that you came out of the blue, you weren't expecting, he got there before you did. And he already knows how to meet that need. And I'm telling you, young people and adults too, we need to follow him, trust him. This God, the God of creation, the God of compassion, and the God of conversion. The Bible says of him, he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. There's not anybody he cannot save except those ones who will not receive him. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And this God who loved us enough to give his own son and save us and forgive us of all of our sin, give us a home in heaven, he'll be our guide even unto death. You can travel with him. He knows everything, and he knows the right way. He knows the best way. I was coming back yesterday, and I got to thinking, Brother Sammy, he and I have talked. They were traveling. He and Miss Carolyn, for the last several years, they did a lot of traveling. And Sammy didn't like to go on the interstates. And we came back from Virginia. I was making great time until I hit Richmond, Virginia. And then we stayed stop and go for about 45 minutes. But I got to thinking, now, Sammy, this wouldn't have happened to Sammy because he'd been on a back road somewhere. He'd already be all way on down there. Because he studied it and he wanted to go the best route and he wanted to go to where he could see the best scenery and have the best experience. And you know what? Our God will lead us exactly where he wants us to go, to the best place of our life, to the best job of your life, to the best opportunity of your life. And he's got it all. And it's that God. And notice there are some principles of his guiding. And I'm going to do this quickly. And this is in my heart. Go back to the book of Exodus. There are some principles that he has that will guide you for the rest of your life. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read it quickly because I'm running out of time, but I want to make sure you understand this. This whole Bible from cover to cover speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's so many things in here to help us with every area of our life, but there's some things that I would call the principles by which he guides us. And here's one of them, and it was for the nation of Israel. They are going to go out of bondage, and they're going to go into a land flowing with milk and honey. And he gave them these principles that they would live by as his people as they go into the land. If they had adhered to this, they never would have been dispersed. If they'd adhered to this, their nation never would have collapsed. Notice it says in the book of Exodus chapter 20, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and to show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and to keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy handmaid, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, yea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, I'm trusting that God, this God is your God, and he'll be your guide. And there were things here that you may say, well, that just relates to Israel. We don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the Lord's day. Same principle, I think, takes place. But we're to follow him. But now look, beginning at these further principles. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy day may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor any other thing that is thy neighbor's. Simple principles of life. I got to thinking, if it's just some way that the crowd in the streets looting and shooting and on both sides of the ledger, you know, wherever the fault may lie. And I like what Mr. Huckabee said, and one of the things I saw on the news, they asked him, what about if we could, when all this settles, get everybody together, have a big conference, see if we can figure out what's wrong. He said, I'll tell you exactly what's wrong. Sin. He said, the root of all this is sin. Wouldn't it be great if people understood thou shalt not kill? Wouldn't that eliminate a lot of problems? Wouldn't it be great if people understood you should not commit adultery, or you should not steal, or you should not bear false witness against your neighbor, or be covetous, all those things? Wouldn't those things be great? But see, we have a nation who's turned from the principles of his guiding us. And what you're seeing now are groups of people who chose not to have these principles before them, even in our public schools. What's wrong with not killing? What's wrong with not stealing? What's wrong with not killing adultery? Why would you not want that before people's eyes? Why would you not want those things? They are guiding principles of our Lord. Turn over to the New Testament, if you will, quickly. And I want you to look into the book of Matthew. Matthew, our Lord is referring back to these, and the Jews are trying to entrap him. And they say to him in Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 37. They said, which is the greatest commandment? And here's what he said in Matthew 22 and verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The principles of guiding in what we call the Ten Commandments and in what Christ has here for us. I wonder if people got a hold of those things. Not to steal, not to kill, to respect people's property. And then when you come to the New Testament, to love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And attached to that, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To love your neighbor. These principles, if those principles were lived out in America, it would settle all the issues we're facing today. He'll be our guide. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's guiding your life? Who's guiding your life? You can look at the rioters and wonder who's guiding their life. Look at any problem going on in this nation and wonder who's guiding their life. I can say to you quickly, it's not these two principles that are in the Word of God. But if just these simple principles of his guidance, this is what he said to him. He said, now I'm going to be your guide. Here's the things that I'd like for you to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not steal, not kill. those things, all those things, the principles of it. Then I say to you this, what is the purpose of his guiding us? He created us. He knows what things we have need of before you ever ask him. We were created for his pleasure. And if you study very carefully the Word of God, you'll find that what God did, he always did for us, for our good and for his glory. His leadership and his guiding us is that you might have a happy and fulfilled life and that your life might have meaning. I guarantee you that God will guide some of you into nursing. He'll guide some of you into law enforcement. He'll guide wherever he leads you. Understand this, he's guiding you. And he knows what's best. You pray to him about decisions you make. You trust him and follow his leadership. He has a plan for your life to where you can be a blessing to others and where you can be blessed yourself and it bring glory to him. That's the purpose of his guidance. He wants for you the very, very best. He allows you freedom of will. But he said, if you'll follow me, if you'll let me guide you, lean not to your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge me, I'll direct your path, and I promise you it'll be the best path of your life. You'll be blessed if you'll do that. Oh, listen, not only the purpose of his guiding, but the power of his guiding. I'd just say this quickly. How is it that we have the ability to follow him? It says in the Word of God, these quick quotes, without me you can do nothing, but with God all things are possible. And Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can be the best nurse that you could possibly be. You could be the best farmer you could possibly be. Whatever your chosen profession that God chose for you, he wants you to be your very best, and you can do it through his strength and through his power and give him all the credit for it. He's got this. He can handle you and he can handle your situations. Trust him. Follow him. Follow his guidance all through your life. What will be the product if you follow him even unto death? Your life will matter. Your life will count. Every life is precious. I saw somebody say something about your kids need to understand these principles about life, Black Lives Matter and all this. I know what they were saying, but I have a different principle. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. You say, Brother Billy, that's awful simplistic. Well, we're the ones made it complicated, not him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And if you'll follow his guidance in the first place, you will have the greatest accomplished life that you could possibly have. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It may not be what others do, but it's what God had for you to do. And if you do that, commendation at the end, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then it is also this, your life will touch the lives he meant for you to touch. You will affect others. He left you here to be a blessing, and you can be a blessing every day of your life if you'll follow him. And then lastly, as he guides you through life, through this step of your career, through moving to this place and moving to that place, he ultimately has a place he wants to guide you to. And David in Psalms 23 understood that well. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, leading me beside the still waters, so on, calls me to lie down in green pastures. That's now. He is now. But then the last verse says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I promise you, if you'll follow his guidance here, he's going to lead you to a place called heaven. He'll be your guide here even unto death, but he'll carry you through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side, and you'll arrive safely at home in heaven one day if you'll follow this guide. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, will speak to hearts, not only our graduates, but of all the graduates who've graduated many, many years ago. And for those of us who never, ever graduate from the school of life and learning, that God, every day of our life, we, Lord, recognize that we must die to self and live for you. And God, I pray that we would follow your guidance in every affair of our life, every day of our life, 24/7, to know that you are our guide, forever and ever, even unto death. And God, guide these young people, Lord, as they continue on in education, as they now go out into the job market to follow their career that, God, you've led them to. God, help them to trust you every day, to seek your guidance and leadership, and know that, God, you'll never, ever leave them nor forsake them. But our Father, I pray that they could say what the first part of this verse said. This God is our God. I hope, Lord, they'll have a personal relationship with you and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, speak to hearts now. God, help us, our Father, so many voices clamoring for our attention, saying, go here, go there, do this, do that. I pray, God, that they'll seek your will and your leadership, and God, that you'll show them exactly what you want to do. And Lord, right now, I pray for those that are at this point where they know that they're not saved. I pray, Father, they'd follow your leadership into trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Now, friends, while we have our heads bowed and our friends in the media audience, let me encourage you right now. He wants you to be saved, the first step. This God is our God. He becomes your God when he becomes your Savior and becomes your Father. And he'll be your guide forever and ever, even unto death. I trust you'll trust him. If you say, Brother Bill, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I want to ask you right here in the building and in the media audience right now, will you do something by faith? Will you say, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord, I believe you gave your son Jesus to die for me. Right now, I receive him as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. Come in my heart. Lord, take me, use me, and God, be my guide even unto death and beyond. And I pray, Father, that God, that you'd help me to be a witness as I follow you. And God, use me for your glory, for my good, and for the blessing of those around me. My dear friend, if you'll ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you today, he'll do it. If you've already done that just now, rejoice. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart, now you tell somebody that you trusted Christ.